Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Merry fucking Christmas, everybody!
Ho, ho, ho.
Woo. Don't talk about me while I'm right here. All three of us. Ho, ho, ho.
Perfect.
Or ho, ho, ho. Guys, if you're not watching this, I mean, if you're listening to this, Merry Christmas. But after you listen to this, you should also watch it because we're not going to tell you what you'll see, but it's festive as fuck.
Right.
So go watch it on YouTube after you've listened to it. You'll get a different sensory experience. Welcome back to the podcast, guys. This is Don't Blame Me, the Advice Podcast, and this is a festive as fuck episode because the holidays, this one specific one.
Happy Christmas, Harry.
Happy Christmas, Ron. Oh, so good.
I'm not a Potterhead.
It's okay. There's only two lines. There's nothing for you to say anyway.
I mean, I got what it was, but not a Potterhead.
You're not a Potterhead?
No.
Or a pothead?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great right about now. Some weed? Anyone? No. Okay.
I got you.
You got it. You were there. Okay, guys, this is an advice podcast. You have all been here before. Back by popular demand is Aislinn Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for demanding. I feel so special.
It was so much.
It is the most we've ever been requested for anyone back.
Yeah.
We were talking.
I think it's because you weren't in all of season two, but you were in two episodes of season one.
Leave the people wanting more.
They're like, where is she? And I'm like, around all the time.
Literally all the time.
We were talking about that last night where it was like, you guys couldn't have picked a more attainable guest. Like, it's like, have Aislinn back. I'm like, sick. See her every fucking day. This is easy breezy. Can this happen? Like, yeah, I want to roll by. She rode with me here today.
Yep.
It was a good time.
And also, if this is in December, if you're a Megan fan and not a fan of me, I apologize, because you're going to get a huge dose of me.
In all of my December content.
All around.
Which, if you guys aren't watching, go watch it. So guys, check out our pajamas if you're watching. Melissa, would you like to describe yours?
I have on a gray long sleeve. Mm-hmm. Something.
Heather gray.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very soft.
It's nice.
And it says resting Grinch face on it.
Where did you buy this?
Target.
Recently, right?
Yeah. Like yesterday.
That's amazing.
Because I have no pajamas.
Because she sleeps in the nude. Hey. Mm-hmm. Aislinn's wearing. Would you like to talk about your pants you're wearing?
Oh, sure. They're a lovely plaid with some small green stripes mixed in with mostly red and black and white.
So the traditional Christmas pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, very traditional Christmas colors. Pants. They were inherited from Megan because she used to own these and then washed them and then they were too short for her. But now they're perfectly lengthed on me. So
if you can just envision what they look like on me the first time I tried them after washing, it was like beyond capris. They were not cute. And then I'm wearing just a classic buffalo plaid mm-hmm. with some great men's socks. All this is from Old Navy, not sponsored, but it was at one point, which is why I have so much. So guys, you should be definitely watching this as well. But if you're listening, don't worry. Just close your eyes and picture it and then go watch it. Don't close your eyes. You're probably driving. So keep your eyes open. And then once you can sit down, watch the video with your eyes. I can. Okay, guys. So who's ready to give some advice?
I guess that's me.
It is you.
Yeah.
And Melissa. I'm not going to give advice.
Yeah.
Hey. Hi. If you guys have some Christmas drama, it won't happen on Christmas because Christmas now, but I mean, if you like holiday drama, you've got things happening in your life and you want to be on an upcoming episode or not even want to be because maybe you don't want your life to go to shit, but you're like, I need some help because it's happening without my consent, which is usually how your life turns to shit. You're like, I didn't ask for this. You can give us a call at 310-694-0976. International listeners/viewers. You can email us an audio file at meganpodcast@gmail.com. So without further ado, shall we begin?
We shall.
We shall.
Hi, Megan. I am 22, and I've been dating my boyfriend for a year. I'm totally in love with him, and we talk about being together forever all the time. My problem is with his family. They act like they love me, but his mom makes comments about my appearance and passively judges me often. For example, she tells me often that my boobs are too small, which he hasn't complained, so I'm not sure what the problem is. I'm not typically one to let someone make me feel bad about myself, so it's pretty easy for me to look past her comments. But his sister has become even more of a problem. She's completely obsessed with him, and it's weird. For one example, she got married recently and invited me to her lingerie shower, which was, first off, weird. Second off, everyone was wearing pajamas, and she walks in the room wearing my boyfriend's t-shirt. She didn't ask. She just took it out of his closet like it was normal, and for the record, she still has it. I could go on and on, but my main question is how do I handle this jealousy I have towards my boyfriend's sister? He's the baby of the family, so I try to tell myself that's why his mom and his sister act this way, but it just drives me insane. She wants to be my friend and be close to me, but I just can't get past the fact that she has some creepy attachment to my boyfriend. If I talk to him about it, he gets defensive for obvious reasons because she's his sister, but I just can't get past it, and it makes me so uncomfortable to even be around her. Please help. Anything would be appreciated.
Ew. Wow, fuck this family.
Oh, wait, did she say how old she is?
She's 22.
22.
And they've been together for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. I'm a little cutthroat recently, if anyone hasn't noticed. You can't really, as much as like you want to change people and like make them see how you see this, which like also just so you know, like you've called into a podcast of people who have just like made stank faces and been like, yeah, we're on your side. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we fully agree with you. But I think if you've already tried to bring it up to him and it's like not changing and it's weird, that uncomfortable feeling that you have, like it's not really going to go away. I think like if he's not sticking up for you to his mom and his mom saying that stuff, Melissa made the great comment of like you saying like she's saying that her boobs are too small, like for what? Like what are they too small for?
Right.
Like that to me is just so negative and so mean that like him letting them do that and say that to you, and him not like not only not confronting them and making them stop, but like if they don't stop, cutting them out, that just shows how much he truly cares about you. And I think it's as much as you think like a year in, like, this is great. Like, he's awesome. Like, I love him. We talk about a future together. I don't think like the family stuff isn't going to be, you're not going to win that. I've tried to win that battle. You won't win that battle. And you have to decide, like, do I want to suck it up and deal with this for the rest of my life? Or do I not want to? And you don't have to. Like,
and I know this has come up on a previous podcast where you guys have talked about like the family thing is so difficult, because for all of us, if we have a relationship with our family, that's usually a relationship that's been lifelong.
Yeah.
And so for then someone else to come into your life, you are weighing those options of like, am I taking my family side or my partner side? And that's a much newer relationship. It's going to be difficult at any point if you're going to try and fight him on this and bring it up in any way that is going to be meaningful. Mm-hmm. It's really a really difficult spot. And I've known, when I was in my teens, I knew a guy who was like this, and it was hard. It kind of like prevented a lot of things because his family was so protective of him, and it makes you feel like you just can't win if you're already losing when you walk in, because the family's already made decisions about who you are because you're not good enough for their kid.
Yeah. I think it's also just kind of like, it's just like a weak guy move to like, let
mom and sister take punches and not say anything. I think that's just the sign of like a partner who's not going to be supportive and useful in the future. Useful. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like in a circumstance where you guys get an apartment together or something, is he going to let your landlord say shitty things to you? Or like, is he going to get involved in other situations where that kind of thing really matters? And I've heard, you know, it's also important to think about the future. If you see a future with him, but now think about it, if you guys have kids
and those people in your
and those
kids
people
life.
Are still in your life, are you going to let them make remarks like that to your children? And then are you going to still be okay having a partner or a husband who will stand by while those things are, your children are criticized the same way you're criticized? Or also, you know, in 20 years, do you want to still be going over to their house for Thanksgiving or whatever holiday and feeling left out because they won't accept you?
And I think like there's like, no matter what, like I've never known anyone who hasn't kind of struggled, especially like as the girlfriend with like the boyfriend's family. Like, it's hard, and it's definitely like there's some shit that just kind of comes with the territory of that. But it's only to an extent. Like, it should like that, like mother-in-law or like your boyfriend's mom thing. Like, it should be purely, not should be, like, it typically is like purely passive aggressive. But if you get to a point where she's like making direct comments about you and he's not sticking up for you, he can't defend that. Cause so much of what happens is the guy being like, you're reading too much into it. The cards have been laid out on the table. And if he's not changing anything about it, it's the same way that you wouldn't let someone in your life talk about him like that. He shouldn't do that. Like, not even a gender thing, like that you're a girl and he's a guy, but like if people in his life are talking about you in a way that you wouldn't let people, like, you'd stop your friends or your family from talking about him in that way, realize he's not doing that. And there are partners who will do that for you, and you shouldn't be with somebody who you have to tell them over and over and over again, like, by the way, please don't let your mom say that, like, make comments about my appearance and my boobs are too small.
And this is really hard because I feel bad because I'm not really giving advice. We're just saying like, he and his whole family kind of suck. Yeah. And I wish there was constructive advice to give here. And I would, if the circumstances were maybe a little different, if it was something about like there were cultural differences, or it was like a specific activity that the family always did together, if you could somehow find a way to find some common ground. But her making remarks about your body, like, I'm not going to turn around and tell you to get a boob job or something. Like, that's just a fucked up thing to say to you. And she is an adult woman who's raised children, should know that. And it's not her place to say anything. And it seems like the sister also has some, like, has grown up with some weird boundary issues. And
it just feels like they're trying to hurt you and sabotage you.
I don't know what you could do better.
Yeah. And I think if it wasn't a comment about your boobs, it'd be a comment about something else. Like, I think the goal from them is to make you feel uncomfortable. I don't know what the fuck is up with the sister. That brother sister relationship thing is now like blowing my mind. Hella weird that there's like that sort of issue there. I think, like, especially when it comes to the mom or whatever, like, this is like detrimental to you and making you feel shitty, which if it was me, I would totally feel like that. It's not worth it because like you can't fix it. You didn't do anything wrong in the situation. Like nothing that you're doing is wrong. It just sounds like they're looking for reasons to hate you and to push you away so you can be the evil like villain bitch who dumped their son, as opposed to them telling their son, hey, like we don't, no one's good enough for our son. We don't want you to date. We want to keep you in a bubble forever. Like they're trying to be like cool to him and then push you away and make that, you know what I mean? Like make that happen. Like they're trying to orchestrate a breakup that comes from your side, not his. And not that I'm saying he wants to break up with you. I just mean, they're like, it's like, they're just fucking trying to sabotage your relationship.
And I wonder if he's had any other long-term relationships before this, if you can bring it up to him in a constructive way, just say like, hey, like if you have had previous girlfriends, has this been an issue with you guys before? Have you felt that kind of pressure? Do you notice it? Or if this is his first like long, serious, more serious relationship, maybe that's also a big thing is that now the family's getting so reactive because they've never had to deal with it before.
But I mean, like the fact that like she brought it up to him and like, he's like not doing anything about it. Like the point of like, you have to be explicit. That's something that like, when it gets to this point, which I've had to do this where it's like, no, your mom said this about me. Like, this isn't just me having like a feeling. And like, there's been some like comments that could be construed like this. And they like, it took until me saying like, no, no, this is what so-and-so said about me. This is literally verbatim it until like there starts to be some recognition there. But even then it might not necessarily change. And you need to know that like, and I like, it sounds stupid to say, like talk to your friends about it too. But like, you're able to survey your friends and like you've actually kind of done this by calling to the podcast. We're telling you that the relationship is strained between the like mother and like boyfriend, like son's girlfriends or whatever. But like, this is a different level. So I think know that we're saying that this is like reached an extreme level that like, isn't, it's showing that your boyfriend's care, like who his loyalties lie with and like who he's going to let talk, who he's okay with like treating a certain way and like having everyone in his life treat a certain way. But like, yeah, if you had talked to your friends about this, I promise you that people will say that these relationships are hard, but like you've reached that, this is way past that point. Like now it's just like vile and mean and intentionally trying to hurt you. And then him not doing anything is just being like, okay, so do you want me to like break up with myself? Because like, what is it? It just seems to me like a very weak move. And a year into a relationship is not that long. I don't want to sound like a negative person, but like, I don't want you to feel like, oh, we've talked about the future. I've talked about the future with so many guys I've dated, not like real, real future all the time, but like, I don't know, like enough that like you can see that with multiple people.
Yeah, and you shouldn't sacrifice your well-being for the sake of the future you've imagined for yourself with that person.
Yeah,
because that's not important enough. You can always rebuild and come up with a new future with someone else that is going to treat you better and put you first.
Yeah, and there's so much about like feeling ready and capable and thinking about a future. It doesn't really have to do with your partner. It has to do where your mindset's at, and your mindset might have been there and you felt like good and accomplished and you felt like you kind of had a handle on everything and it just happened to coincide with being in a relationship with this guy. But that doesn't mean that that feeling of like security and like seeing a future, that doesn't live and die with him. Like that sense of maturity comes from you. And as like you get older and you like grow up, like you're going to be able to see, like there's so many people there's so many single women just in general raising children who've decided they want to have a family. Like you can, that sense of like wanting to like have a future doesn't rely on like having a partner to necessarily do that with. Like you can see it with a specific partner, but I think more than anything, you're going to realize that that's so much more about you.
And we're like also going him. Way past, I know. Like into the far future. You're only 22. Yeah. It's like, I would actually love for you to call back. I want to hear more context. If you like do like talk to your boyfriend more or confront the mom, what happens? What goes on?
Oh my God. Are you going to confront the mom?
Yeah, do it. Throw it down.
Wow. Is that
your thing now?
No, I'm absolutely kidding.
I think we just switched bodies right here.
Unless of course you want to. I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like you're sure she's a mother figure, an adult, and you're 22. And I know even at 24, I have this feeling of like not quite being an adult yet, but you are an adult and you also are a person and you deserve respect and she's not respecting you. And so if standing up for yourself is the thing you feel you need to do, fucking do that.
Yeah. confrontation is cathartic. my last words before I die in a fist fight. No, I mean, honestly, to like give you that kind of like bad older sister advice or bad cousin, I feel like your sister would like cares more about like, I mean, I care about you, but I just mean like your sister like thinks about consequences more as your bad older cousin. I would just fully retaliate like the next time she says something, like get yourself invited to dinner, go over to dinner the next time she says something and she says like your boobs are too small, and you'll be like, really? Like what? Like how do you think yours are? I feel like yours are a little too big.
I think your ankles are too big.
Yeah, like I would literally just retaliate. Oh my God. The sister like wearing a boyfriend's shirt, and I would literally like make a joke of being like, okay, Cersei wearing his shirt, like make a fucking joke about incest. Like that's like a fight. I'm also a Leo, so like fight fire with fire kind of a thing. But like at a certain point, also if he wants to make that claim of being like it's all innocent and fun, and you're like, is it innocent and fun? If I participate, does it also still remain innocent and fun? And I think then you can kind of see maybe there's a double standard. Yep. Maybe they're allowed to talk about you like that.
But that'll definitely be strategy number two, I think.
Oh, that's like mediation, you might break first. Up, just by the way. Like that might be like if you're okay and you've like been, you know what, we might end this. If you want to go out in flames, I feel like that's it.
Man, happy holidays, guys. It's so fun. Merry
fucking Christmas. Should we go on to the next?
Yeah.
I'm 19. I'm currently listening to your podcast with Hannah, and it just made me realize that I need to finally call in and ask about this question. So I am currently in a relationship. I've been with my girlfriend for a little over 2 years. And the major thing that's going on in our relationship currently is that she has very bad OCD, PTSD, depression, anxiety, all of that mess. And for like the majority of our relationship, I've been like her sole happiness. Like if I'm not happy, she's not happy. She thinks something's wrong. And then, you know, we end up getting an argument because she thinks like I'm being distant. And then I have to end up apologizing because I'm just like, oh no, I'm not distant. And like, I'm not really capable of being open about having bad days. And like recently I'm trying to get into nursing school. And so it's just been really, really hard emotionally with my anxiety and depression, like that I've had previously years past. It's coming back now. And I've just realized that like, I'm trying to stay above water with everything in my life. And my relationship also isn't helping me. I had a conversation with her and I was like, hey, I'm going to counseling. I just got put on antidepressants. Like, I'm going to try to do whatever I can, but I don't know if this relationship is fulfilling me in the way that it should, as far as like me getting better. And I'm very like independent because I'm an only child. So like for me to get better, I need to be on my own. And I mean, I think that she kind of understood it, but like mostly it just seemed like she was crying because she was sad that like our relationship was going to be over. And I understand, but I don't necessarily know how to like completely end it because I know in my head that I'm like done and I don't want to be in the relationship anymore. But when you're like dealing with someone who's like really sad and like, you know, that they're not happy without you, like after that conversation, my friend was rooming with her in college and she says like she comes home from school and all she does is cry. Like she can't even do her homework. Like me personally, I can't hurt somebody like that. And so knowing that by breaking up with her, like it's going to cause all of that pain. And even though like her and the relationship is hindering me and my happiness, like I keep living for her and other people. And I was just really needing advice on like how to let go, because being in a relationship with someone who's like that emotionally, like not okay, is really, really hard. And it drains like me, and me realizing like, hey, I'm not doing so well. Like I need to just focus on me, but I don't know how to focus on me without hurting her. Even though like, I don't know even necessarily know if I'm in love with her anymore. I know I love her, but
I feel like you kind of already know and you just want our permission to do this. Like from the way you're talking about it, you're very self-aware and you know that it's hurting you being in this relationship, and you know what's best for you is to not be in it, but you feel guilty because there's someone else who's really been emotionally dependent on you. But you have to put yourself first. There is just no other answer or option there. Like your mental health is so important and it's just as important as hers, and you should be putting yourself first there. I understand completely the guilt and feeling bad about letting someone else sort of be left on their own, but she also has to learn a certain amount of independence and how to deal with her own emotions on her own. And something also to remember too, as much as yeah, she might be crying and having a hard time with this breakup and her roommates telling you all that, most people, even people without like who don't struggle with anxiety or depression, are also heartbroken at the end of a 2-year relationship. They also cry and eat like ice cream out of a tub of like, yeah. It just is normal. And so you can't let that guilt put you back in an unhealthy place, because then neither of you are going to grow.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. And exactly. I think, you know, and the thing is like, as much as it seems like being with her is like, that's what's going to help her. If you're not in love with her, it's just hindering her. Like, in order to protect both of you, you got to break up with her and like fully do that. And as much as it feels like I'm the sole source for happiness and all of those things, as somebody who's been your girlfriend, like the last thing I would have needed is for like one of my exes to feel guilty and obligated and bad to stay there, because that just makes me feel worse. Like that's like, and I know that, like, it's not like, I don't want to be with somebody, and again, they're making this about me, whatever. But like being, I don't want to be with somebody, and no one should, who feels like they have an obligation to be there because my happiness relies on them. Your happiness can only rely, it should never rely on somebody else, but it only ever would really rely on somebody else when you're truly happy. The second that it becomes pity, it's not going to help her. It's just going to make her feel worse and feel shittier. And even if in the moment it seems like this is a kind of a quick fix, no matter what, if you guys had stayed together or not, like her mental health needs to become her priority and her responsibility. She's going to learn that anyway. She's going to learn that faster on her own. So if anything, you're doing her a favor, and you're doing her own mental health a favor while helping yourself. Because you can't really grow mentally if you're going through that kind of stuff with another person, because you have somebody else there. Like, you have somebody who you can rely on, and you have somebody who you can kind of invest your time and energy in, so you don't have to focus internally. But when you have that time and that separation from there, she's going to learn how to like self-soothe. It's kind of like I don't know anything about like parenting and like crying it out and the babies and stuff, but like, it's an important thing that people need to learn regardless, like you said, like regardless of like any sort of like mental health background. I think like knowing that, you know, her, you're friends with her roommate and everything like that, I think like the most important thing overall is to know that she's like safe. So like, if that means that like you have like if you're in contact with like any of her other friends, or like if you guys had ever been to like a counselor together, like somebody else, because if you feel responsible in knowing like maybe she's like told you certain things like about like her mental well-being that she's never told other people, and you feel nervous or responsible for her well-being because you're the only one who knows something, and then if you're not in her life and no one else knows, you're afraid of like something she might do to someone else or to herself. So you need to relinquish that responsibility and that control onto somebody else who is professionally equipped to do that. I don't care if it, as somebody who suffers from like mental health problems, like I don't care if it sounds shady. Like if someone did this to me and I was in the position, like, sure, like bring me to a counselor and have a counselor know and someone check in on me. If I'm in school, talk to my school counselor, talk to my roommate, like talk to someone in my life who can also then check in on me. They don't have to tell me that that's why they're checking in, but just so you can relinquish some of that, I don't know, feeling like you're the only person who knows something. Cause I had friends who stayed in relationships with, like the other friends of mine who were also dealing with mental health issues. And like, they're all like, why are you like, you guys aren't good for each other. Why are you staying? And he finally admitted, he's like, she was suicidal. And like, I was really afraid if I had left, like I didn't want to tell anybody, but I didn't, I was afraid if I left, something would have happened. And if it would be my fault because I didn't do anything. And oh, sorry, we trigger warning to that. I'm sorry, I should have, well, we can do the show notes, but yeah. And so that was something for, that like once we were able to like contact her family and like let them know. And we were like, you need to end this, cause this is like really hurting you. And in turn, you're hurting her. Like she's not getting, she can sense that you're not all there. And like it's, yeah, she's,
and it's still relying solely on you to do that emotional work for her. And she's not figuring out her own thing. I'm not saying that she's going to just wake up one day and have a journey that's like quick. Who knows how long it'll take her. But the main thing here is that it's not your responsibility, and it's not a question of, you know, if you were stronger or in a better emotional place, you could do it. You're not weak for not being able to handle her stuff as well as yours.
No, she's the only one who can handle it. No relationship that she'd be in is going to be able to handle it. Like she needs to get a good grasp and control on it, and then she's able to be in a relationship. But until she's there, this will happen in any relationship. It's not a weight that anyone else should carry. I think it's like when you're like, like functioning. If I'm like, we want to be a functioning depressed person. Like, and in a relationship, there are certain things and certain things that I need out of a relationship, or certain ways that like on a day to day can like help with this thing that I constantly struggle with. But like, if I'm in the worst place ever, it's not anyone else's responsibility for me to get like, to get out of that except for me. Because if I don't learn how to do that and that person's gone, how am I going to know how to do it? Mm-hmm. And I think it's empowering for her to give her the chance to really come through this on the other end. And then I think just don't, and I've like made this mistake before, but like breaking up with somebody and then like talking to them afterwards and like still having like a, don't check in on her. Like, as much as you think you're doing that for her and you might be, it's just going to make it worse. Like,
because then you're also still performing the same function you were before, but now getting even less emotional support than you were for yourself. Because now you've just taken yourself out of the role of girlfriend and turned yourself into like
text therapist,
counselor who checks in. And that is still leaving that weight on your shoulders. So,
and it's backtracking from her thinking that you're giving an inch and it's going to be like, oh, this is this. It's like this, the anytime anyone gets like broken up with or anything, or you finally start to get over it, it's like suddenly you start seeing them places and like out of the blue, it's like they knew you were doing good and they just started to text you. So I think, because it's not really, it's these are kind of breakups suck because you obviously still care about her and you don't hate her. You also kind of have to let her hate you if she wants to hate you. And like, you've got that, her roommate who you're friends with. And like, that does make the situation sticky and complicated. But I think right now you've said this, you really know, just like be the big person in the situation. Let her hate you. If she wants to vilify you, fine. If that's what she needs to do to get over this and like go through this journey, but prioritize your own mental health. And by doing that, your fear of not taking care of her, that will take care of her. Like, by you prioritizing you, you're going to be a better partner to whoever you're going to be with. And she's going to learn how to be a better partner to somebody else.
Yeah. And I'll also put a link in the show notes with information on how you can help family and friends cope with mental health issues.
Hi, Megan. So I'm 23 years old and I'm kind of in, I guess, like a sticky situation between my best friend, who's also my roommate, and a guy that I really have feelings for. So, you know, it's one of those things that my best friend doesn't like him at all. And I knew that. They basically, from what I understood, like, I knew that they had made out twice, like, ages ago, but that was where she and I were friends. And I had feelings at the same time, but that was very, you know, much in the past. Basically, she's been really unsupportive lately about me talking to him. And hey, he's actually coming up to be my date to a wedding. And basically she's been really aggressive, saying she wants to hit him with her car. Like, if he's banned from the house, if, you know, he's in the house, she'll call the police. And I confronted her and basically was like, why are you still like this? Cause it hurts my feelings that you're not being supportive of, you know, potentially being with somebody I want to be with. And she basically said, because she actually used to have feelings for him and she never had closure and she's really upset and she's really hurt by him and she just doesn't want to deal with him. And I guess my question is, what do I do? Because I've wanted to be with him a really long time and I think that's potentially going to happen. But I don't want to lose her or alienate her. I feel really stuck.
Ooh. And in this moment, we lost another caller.
I think no matter what, this is going to be an either or situation and you just have to decide what's more important to you. I don't want it to be judgmental because honestly, I don't know your friendship with this roommate. Maybe you guys weren't always that close and now you're happy to move out and you really think this guy could be the one. I don't know. Like, I know.
I'm not talking.
I'm personally usually on the side of like female friendships. I think you should put those first because I think it's important to cultivate those and have those in your life as opposed to the chance of a relationship when that's a maybe and the friendships are for sure. I think that's the thing to do. But at the same time, I don't want it to be a judgmental thing of like, you can never have love. Like, throw that away simply for this reason. But I think, you just kind of have to weigh your options here and decide what you want to do moving forward because there is no way to have both. You're going to hurt somebody here.
Yeah, that's exactly. You no matter, you don't get both. You don't get to keep the friend. You don't get to keep the guy. So here's what I'll say. I've done... some shitty things in my life. So I'd say one of the prime examples. So I have two examples. One in high school, my friend had a crush on a guy for a really, really, really long time. And she had dated people in between, but he was kind of always like a guy that she had a crush on. And, but it was, I knew she had a crush on him, but like nothing had ever happened between them. So I was able, like in my head, got fucking wasted and hooked up with him one night. And I didn't tell her, he told her, cause he's a fucking dick. Great kisser though. Great kisser. One of the few guys I've ever made out with where I was like, I would like to have sex with you just for making out with you. Usually it's like, you don't get that feeling, but I was like, wow. She was like so mad at me. And immediately as soon as I found, like, as soon as I woke up the next morning, cause I was like drunk at a party. As soon as I woke up the next morning, I felt so guilty because even though that drunk night I could justify it in my head, I was like, fuck no. If this, like, if I had been her, if like this, if I was a situation, if this was like a guy that I had a crush on or had a thing with or whatever, like I would be super hurt. And like him and I weren't even anything, but it took even just that, me making out with a guy that she had, she had never even been with, but she had like a crush on, took us months to recover in our friendship. And I like never spoke to him again. And I felt super guilty. And then another time this happened to me, I was really young when this one happened. And it was this girl that I was friends with, and she had a crush on this guy, but it was a very similar thing. They had like talked for a little bit and then they stopped. And then like, I didn't really even wasn't close with her at the time that it happened. Him and I started talking and she just started getting really hostile to me. I asked her why it was, and it's because she had feelings for him. And she was like, I don't want you to date him. Like, you have to choose between the two of us. I chose him. He didn't choose me because he found out that she had said that. And he's like, I would never want to do that to you as friends. And in that moment, I was like, oh my fucking God, I picked you and you picked my friendship with her that you have nothing invested in. And I never felt more like a fucking idiot. And so stupid. Her and I never were never friends again after that because she knew I didn't pick her. And this guy made me feel like a shitty woman, like a shitty feminist, because even like at that young, we're like 14, he picked our friendship because he was like, whoa, I don't want the pressure on me of knowing that you gave up a friend for a chance of us being together. Like, and we were both like talking about, like, we both had liked each other, but he was like, I don't want to be the reason why you lose a friend. And like, I think that needs to be your mindset here is like, A, karma's a fucking bitch. Like, as much as like she, I think like you were able to justify this in your head because you like him. And I don't think it's necessarily based on her actions. I think like, if you really thought about it, if you hadn't had feelings for him and you like, then she had a history with him, he probably would have already been off limits, but because you found him attractive and you kind of had a thing for him, you were able to overlook the thing he had with somebody else. And I think it's just, yeah, like you said, like, it's not like, I'm not one to say like, oh my God, if he's your true love, but like, imagine if you were in the situation and it was like one of his guy friends had like, you had, he had a thing with you. He might not pick you. Like, he might not pick over his friendship. He might pick over, he might pick a friendship over it. And you making that call puts so much more pressure on the relationship right off the bat of being like, already we're on date one and I've lost my roommate and my friend just going on this one date with you. And that's so much riding on that, that even if he's the greatest guy ever, he's not really going to be able to live up to the fact that he needs to be the best boyfriend and replace a friend. Like,
yeah,
that's just a lot putting on him. And again, karma, but also like, I don't know. I hate giving the advice of being like, when people hear about you doing this, like you, there's not a huge amount of defense for you.
But also what's funny is I feel like if the roommate were calling in, we would have different advice for her. Like, we wouldn't be like, wow, you're like, your friend sucks. I feel like the advice we would give her would be like, you should try to like move on and do these things. But at the same time, right now, because you can't dictate how she feels, you just have to take her feelings, how she has them right now, and take those into account. And that's how you are a good friend, is by not trying to change people or tell them how they should feel, just by accepting how she does feel and see that that causes her pain and not want to cause her that pain anymore, and deal.
Yeah, it just, you just have to make the choice, because like, yeah, and you're right. If this was the roommate calling in, I would be like, I would tell her exactly how, like me saying, talking to the roommate, saying, tell her exactly how you feel and tell her that, like, if you guys are going to be together, I don't want to be a part of this because it really does hurt me. And then walk away from the friendship. That's the advice I'd give your friend. Like, that's what I'd give her.
Chill the fuck out and don't call the police or hit people.
Yeah, don't do that.
That kind of threat is a lot.
I mean, and also to me sounds like he must have like ghosted her or done something that made her feel like, not ghost, because Melissa and I are big fans of ghosting. Mm-hmm. But like
made her feel led on by
made her feel like have a lot of, because like it's like not just sadness. She's like a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. And like, someone has to do something to make you angry. You don't just wake up angry. You can wake up sad. You don't wake up like angry. There needs to be something that sparks that. At least maybe, I don't know. Maybe one day I'll wake up just like the Hulk. I hope God, the shit I would do. But I think like you just need to know that going into this, there's no way that you get both and you have to pick. And also know if your relationship fucking tanks, if you pick him, the relationship tanks, she might not be there. You pick her later on down the road. You might have a friendship moment where she does something shitty. You guys stop being friends like that. It's just going to, whatever happens is going to happen, but you can't control people's reactions when you want to continue to do those actions. If you want to prevent those reactions, you can't do the actions. But then if you're going to do something, you just have to live with the consequences of that and not try and orchestrate how someone's going to feel to something.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like he's not great. Maybe it was a fluke thing that like you guys are destined to be together. I don't know.
It's like I'm kind of the feeling like if you fuck over one of my friends or you hurt one of my friends, like I'm not gonna touch you with a 10-foot pole. Like you're probably the same thing. But also, that's the thing.
We don't know if it was like that she actually got fucked over, or maybe like it just was a situation where they talked for a minute and
or how
now
close
she
they
has
were.
Like really deep feelings and he is apologetic but isn't interested. And I don't know, you guys get married and invite us to your wedding. That's chill.
True. Yeah, I say sit on it too. I say wait on it
and rotate.
But I just mean like if you really really wait on it, he might get bored and want to leave, and then you'll realize like, oh, he's not sticking around that much. I don't mean like sit. I just get some dick sloppy toppy. Okay guys, it's time for a quick break and we'll be right back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5.
From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like, you know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black, and this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Okay, guys, we are back from our break and we are hopping into the rest of the couch.
Hi, Megan. I'm 21 years old from Australia. Woo! And I've been with my boyfriend for a year now. And everything's all good. There's just this one little thing that I struggle with. And I never used to have a problem with this until about eight months ago, when I noticed he had commented on this raunchy photo of a girl on Instagram, and she was like some porn model, I don't know, on Instagram, and he had commented something really inappropriate on it.
I'm gonna come on your text.
We had a fight about it, and he felt really bad and said it was stupid and that he'd never do again. But I feel like since this happened, there's like this trust that I've struggled with. And like an insecurity, like I just can't stand if I ever see him liking other girls' photos on Instagram, like as in selfies types and girls in their bathers or just, you know, those type of photos. And I've told him that I don't like it and that it makes me feel shitty about myself and that, you know, why does he need to like it? Can't he just scroll past it? Why does he have to actually hit like? And anyways, I've asked friends how they feel about it, and some are like, you know, I totally agree with you. They don't have to like it. They don't even need to follow them, so why are they even popping up? And then some other friends are like, that's silly, it's stupid, like, that means nothing, so don't even worry about it. But I don't know. I just feel like, why do you have to like it, you know? Why do you have to like other girls' selfies on Instagram? Is this stupid that I worry about it, or is this something boyfriends just shouldn't do? I just want to know.
Okay, so I think this one sort of is in two parts because, well, gosh, we have like, there's so many different perspectives on this one because on the one hand, I totally get you. I was like talking to a guy for a minute and then we followed each other on Instagram. And then on the newsfeed of like what people like, it was just him liking asses all day long. And I was like, it's not even a question of like not liking your choices. I'm just now not interested in you. Yeah, this is so fucking weird.
It's just so weird.
It's so public. You're just liking porn all day long. I think
forget that you can see everybody's likes.
It's so bizarre. And so in that way, I'm like, yeah, I totally am with you. I think it's weird. And I think porn is totally healthy. And I think like, that's okay. It's just ends up being strange when it's so public like that and it's shared with all your friends that like you're liking these people's photos and commenting, which seems like you make a comment to be seen. That's the only reason you comment on things. And so that's a little bizarre. And I totally am with you in being bothered by that. But on the flip side, once you get into like his friends who like take selfies and things like that, that is like a more gray area because you don't know how, like, if it's just an innocent, like, oh, it's my friend and she's posting a picture of herself smiling, like, that's a nice thing. Or is it that he's interested in them? Like, that one is a little bit more difficult. And then at the same time, you can have the argument that the, like, anyone who's sort of an influencer on Instagram or like a porn star or someone is a less attainable person. And so that's almost a safer like than the friends. Mm-hmm. So it is a difficult thing. I get where you're coming from, but I have been there and I think it's weird.
Yeah. I think the thing is, it's like, I've been in this situation where like, I've like dated people who I've then like seen that they've like just like liked a bunch of like porn stuff or whatever. And it just makes you feel weird. I think the biggest thing is the public factor of it. And like my argument to it, I was like, I mean, okay, if you want to watch porn, for sure. If you want to look at these girls' profiles, sure. But like, just know that like my friends follow you. Like this makes me look bad. Like this makes me look bad. Like this makes it look like it just may, I don't like the idea that like people think like, oh, my friend's boyfriend's looking at this. I wonder if they're in an open relationship. I wonder, like, I just don't want people, like, you're including me in a narrative when you do something publicly like that. And then I would also say, like, I think the comment thing, exactly the same thing. Like comments is the intent to be seen. And the biggest thing though, is the fact that like, this hasn't changed. Like he's still liking people's things. Like that, if anything, like the moment you said, and he was apologetic, like the moment you did this, like this shouldn't have happened again. Like, like there shouldn't be, and like, and I don't know if like, he's still like, it sounds like he's still liking things that aren't.
But now is it if he's liking like just girls' photos in general, but now you're feeling insecure about it.
So let's say like, he's still liking pictures in general of like influencers or like anyone who's like, and I don't like the term like Instagram thought or whatever, but someone who's
trying
more
to be like
Instagram
body
models,
positive, but at
Instagram
the same
models.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, we know some in real life and they've got great asses. Like they're fit, gorgeous. Like
they
deserve
to be famous. 100%.
This is like, you're working for it. Like I see how many squats you do. You're doing great things. But like, if he's still liking those kinds of pictures from people, from like those kinds of pictures, regardless of who they're from, I think that needs to be like, that should be the issue because you've already
brought
it up.
Yeah, still a disregard for how you
and
feel.
And then that's showing like, cool, how much you care about me. I feel this makes me uncomfortable and you're not changing it. And then when it comes to like friends' photos and things like that, you know deep down what's like the things that are bad and the things aren't. Like you can look at a picture and know like, this is me being insecure because it's like just another girl. But then there's ones that you look at and you have that gut feeling that you're like, no, this is not a picture he should like. Like I have like guy friends of mine, if I post a picture in a bikini, won't like it because they have girlfriends and they're like, I'll like and comment on any of your other pictures, but like probably not going to like and comment on the picture of you and your ass out because like, that's what the picture's about. And like, I don't fault them. I'm not like, well, I didn't like my picture. Like, that's so mean. Like, I don't think that's weird. I understand that. Like, just the same way that like, I probably wouldn't like, I don't know, like a picture of like, I would feel uncomfortable as fuck if like Leo posted a picture of him like shirtless, like flexing and like doing something. I'd be like, oh, I'd probably like weird mood, like that kind of a thing. Like, I think like that line can be drawn somewhere. And I think, you know, looking at what pictures make you feel a certain way versus don't. Like if it's a picture of your mutual friends and like they're at a beach, but if it's a picture of like four girls in like bikinis in Vegas and all of the comments are other guys saying that they look hot and it's not like a birthday party. It's not something that has like an innocent meaning where it just so happens to have girls in it who are attractive that you find a little intimidating. If the goal of the photo, which if it's a thirst trappy photo, I oppose that. If it's a thirst trap photo and he's liking it and commenting, even if it's a friend, I think he doesn't like, nobody needs like, it's one like, they don't need his like so fucking bad. They haven't asked him like follow for follow, like for like. Like he's not contractually obliged to like all these other like women's photos. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if he's got like friends who are girls or like cousins or anything like that, I don't think you should worry about him having any sort of other female interaction. But I think you probably know deep down which are the ones that make you uncomfortable. And there's probably a reason why they do. Your gut instinct's usually not wrong. On to the next.
So I'm 17 and I have a really messy family situation. And the only people that I go to for advice is my family. And I really need somebody outside of that that can just look at the facts and tell me what I should do. So about last year, my parents got a divorce and I was super okay with it because from about the age that I was 12, my dad had told me that the only reason why he ever stayed with my mom was because of me, and he didn't want me to have divorced parents. But having them together, they were constantly fighting, and it was just a lot. And I actually talked to them, and I told my dad that if he wanted to get a divorce, it was okay with me, and I'd rather them do that because it was just a healthier environment for me. And so they did do that, and I found out by snooping on my dad's Facebook, which I know I probably shouldn't have been doing, that he was sleeping with my brother's wife at the time. And he had been texting. I found out through my sister that he was texting a lot of girls, and my sister's about 30, that he was texting other girls that she went to school with, trying to have sex with them and being really creepy. And so I stopped talking to my dad for a while because it made me really uncomfortable that he cheated on my mom with my brother's wife. And recently, this year, they got into a big fight. My dad and his wife, my dad and my brother and his wife got into a fight because my brother found out that my dad was cheating, or that his wife was cheating, that they were sleeping together. And the police were called, and it was a really big ordeal. And now I don't know what to do, if I should stop talking to my dad, or it's just really uncomfortable, and I don't want to have to choose sides. Please help. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
It's a clusterfuck. Oh,
it is a clusterfuck. Damn. I relate to certain parts of the story, not all of them. I hate to say that, like, you have to choose sides, and you don't necessarily have to, but then not choosing a side, you have to get theme of everything. You're not going to, if you are okay, if you still want to have your dad in your life, I don't fault you at all.
Yeah.
At all. Because A, yes, this is totally a shitty thing. This doesn't really have anything to do with him parenting you and him being your dad. Like, this was a shitty move, and parents can be shitty people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, if he's still a positive person in your personal life, and he's like a good person for you to be around and that you really benefit from and you really like to be around, then I say don't pick a side. But if you feel really bad about this and you don't like this and you feel obligated to have a relationship with him because he's your dad, in spite of this and in spite of the fact that maybe he wasn't a really great dad, and you feel like because he's your like paternal father, like he's your father.
Yeah, it's some sort of societal thing that you have yes. to keep up a relationship with him. If that's the feeling in your brain, don't no, do it.
Because your own, like your parent, like whoever raised you is your parents. Like whoever gave birth to you and like whoever DNA made you, maybe those are also the people who raised you and they get to be your parents. But sometimes those are just fucking people who had sex, had a baby. You showed up here and they chose not to parent you and somebody else did. And then your responsibilities and your loyalties lie to the people who've cared for you and loved you and been really good influences and role models in your life. And like, applause to you for being so mature.
Yeah.
And like,
you have handled this so gracefully and we applaud you here.
And any parent, if you're listening and you want to stay together because you think it's helping your kids, it's not. Mm-mm. It doesn't help your kids. Does not at all. Like, they know, they understand, you're just fucking them up more. Like, yeah. Just do it. So that's like really great for you. I think that's like a really impressive thing. But I think also, again, because this isn't necessarily your battle, I think the first thing is talking to your brother and like having a conversation with him about this. I think he's like the most entangled in this mm-hmm. and feels mm-hmm. like the most betrayed. I think yeah. it'd be really great for your relationship yeah. to like really like
to talk show him that you're there for him. Yeah.
Yeah. And also you might not... you might be seeing a certain side of this situation. What sucks is like when you're like technically considered a kid, even as an adult, when parents are involved, you're only given little tidbits of information. So you might learn some things from your brother that might influence the decision you choose to make or choose not to make. And then also from there, giving him having you guys create a relationship. So if you choose to still have your dad in your life, you don't necessarily have to choose between him and your brother. Or if you're going to do that, you know what you're choosing, you know? So like talk to all the sides to know, okay, if I choose to not take a side, does that mean that my brother is not going to talk to me and I'm therefore taking my dad's side? Or if I choose to not take a side, are they both okay with that? Or is one, are they making an ultimatum that you have to pick between the two of them?
Yeah.
And from there, you have to focus on who benefits your life the most and who is the best person.
The most positive influence in your life and who you want to keep around and who you want to continue to have a family with. And because it sounds like your siblings are really cool and you can have a full family with just them. You don't need to have your dad in your life if you don't want to. But also if you do want to and you feel kind of guilty about that because he's done bad things, that's also okay because it's your dad. No one's going to blame you for any choice that you make. Or if they do, it's probably coming from an emotional place. Like your brother might be kind of mad about it. But as long as you just explain as best you can to him why you're feeling the way you do.
Yeah.
I think he has to understand.
As long as somebody who comes from, I'm not going to give too much away, guys, because my book comes out and you can read all of my life in there. But I really relate heavily to some of this. And as somebody who has chosen to not take a side in a family drama, I don't fault any person who's I've removed myself from the situation. So let me just say, like, out of a family drama situation, I've removed myself and cut ties. I don't fault anybody who's in my life who's remained in contact with those people who, like, whether it's their parents or not, like, I don't fault that because whatever choice that I made was for my own mental health. And I know that anybody else is going to choose that and what's going to be the best for them. And there's no faulting that. So I think if your brother also knows, if your dad is a really great dad to you, maybe he was a shit dad to your brother besides this, which this is pretty fucking terrible. But like, I think that needs to be like, he would know. Do you know what I mean? Like, he would know if he was a better dad to you than he was to him. And if you wanted to still have him in your life. But I think also in this side, it's the same thing. I think I always say, like, the people who got hurt are the people that you should be really reaching out to. So whether that's like your mom and your brother, I think those are the people that you need to really support and love, because the people who did the things that broke up the family, they knew what they were doing. It wasn't necessarily an accident, and everybody else was just caught in the crossfire and they didn't ask to be a part of it. So I think the more you can go at it with like really focusing time on like fostering those relationships, then if you do choose to have your dad still in your life, you're not choosing your dad over them. Like they still feel loved and supported. That
you've chosen him over them.
Yeah. I think that's like what you need to focus on. And I think taking the break from like seeing your dad was probably good for you. And then knowing like, and don't let anyone pressure you into like
choosing a side, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And just like, listen to your own feelings. It sounds like you are a very smart, self-aware, measured person. And I think if you just sit with the whole thing, I think you're going to choose the right thing and whatever. And that's, and we're not saying that there's some secret right thing that we're hinting at. You choose what's right for you and that's going to be the right thing. Yeah. You seem really, really chill.
Yeah. Cause parents can be shit people and you don't have to deal with it just because they're your parents. Like sometimes, like, I don't know, I'm sure, I don't know a lot of like world leaders who are terrible, like tyrants who had kids, but they had kids. Like you can be shitty and you don't have to, you don't have to necessarily deal with that stuff, which I would say is a great lesson I learned. Talking to your siblings, and if your siblings, especially your older ones who are like very much aware, a little more aware and older as the whole situation went down, if they're not talking to him and they feel really uncomfortable, I think you got to sit down with your brother and your sister and be like, tell me everything. Don't protect me. I'm not the baby anymore. Tell me everything. Because if I decide that I want dad to be in my life, I don't want to be the fucking idiot who did it because I didn't know all of these other things. If I'm going to do it, I want to know that I know everything and I'm making the right decision, because they might be trying to protect you and your mom too, because like, you don't know, and like what they know probably has hurt them a lot and they want to protect you from that, but it's not fair. You can't make a choice or choose a side unless you know everything.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, it is time for listener's advice. This is where you people, the listeners, call in and give us your own advice on previous segments and calls and episodes.
This is from the episode with Ned Fulmer about the caller who was having an affair with a married man, but he was in an open relationship. So this is somebody that's calling with some similar advice or similar experience.
I'm excited. Open relationships, home wrecking.
Hi, Megan. I was listening to your episode with Ned, and I came across the one about the girl who is in seeing a married man who's in an open relationship, and that hit me hard. I am 25 years old, kind of in the same situation. I'm no longer really in the situation, actually. For the past 6 months, it felt like she was. I was sleeping with a married man who was in an open relationship. We met on a dating app. He is probably one of the sweetest, coolest guys I've ever met. We are now friends, but I started gaining feelings and started getting jealous of the other girls that he slept with because he slept with other girls, and it was hard for me. And I was very open with him, and he was very cool with the fact that I could no longer do that relationship anymore. And like I said, we are still friends. We are still close. We talk often, not as often, but he was very cool with it. And I think people in that sort of situation are very understanding of people who prefer a monogamous lifestyle because they get that they have just a different way of thinking, more or less, than not. So the guy that she is sleeping with probably will be very understanding and know that it's not something for everybody. So I like your advice of just kind of being open with him and telling him exactly how you feel. Definitely will end up being the best choice for her, and she'll find somebody for sure who is willing to do monogamy with her.
I want to give her advice. Stop talking to that guy.
Yeah, you should move on from that one. Here's the thing. I totally don't judge open relationships. I think if it's what works for you, mm-hmm. that's amazing. But damn, where do you get the time?
I don't know. He has
a wife plus girlfriend. You plus other girls.
She was jealous of the other girls, like not even necessarily the wife. Wife.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Wow.
He must like make his own hours. You know? Yeah. He has
Shit,
to.
I make my Work own from hours. Home. But
I know. Look, who's got the damn time? Gosh. Maybe he won the lottery or something.
Yeah, but
maybe he doesn't work.
Maybe he's unemployed.
He's just going to be so rich.
Yeah, that is his job. Yeah. Getting bitches.
But I really, I like your perspective though, and I your advice makes sense to me that he would be very understanding if one of his extramarital partners was Ooh, not interested in nice. Doing that anymore, because in theory, if you're doing an open relationship correctly, you should be getting fulfilled pretty much emotionally and physically, mm-hmm. and you're trying to fulfill all needs. And so if one person who doesn't have another supportive partner to work with is saying that they can't keep doing that with someone who is in a position that has multiple yeah. partners fulfilling multiple needs, it would make sense that that person then says, oh, no worries. I totally get it. You need more than I can give because I'm currently giving it to other people and I'm satisfied with where I am.
Yeah.
So that sounds like sound advice. And you sound like you're mostly over this
Yeah, dude,
guy.
Stop talking to him, though. Mm-hmm. I know you called to give additional advice and, like, we're giving you advice and you really didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
But like, you need to, yeah, he can be, you can have so many great friends, but the second you develop feelings for a friend and, like, nothing yeah. happens from there, or like you've hooked up and it backtracks, keeping that person in your life is just it's just hindering you and like holding you back from moving on.
Come on, you're 25 and you're cool. Like, you should just be meeting yeah. other people and talking to other people and being friends with other people. You don't need to yeah. be friends with an older married guy.
Cause you're also going to compare other people to him. If you start dating now and you still are talking to him, you're going to compare it to him. And then you're basically comparing somebody that you have a previous relationship with to somebody you go on one date with, mm-hmm. and it's yeah they're never gonna win when you're competing with somebody who you want but you can't have. It's yeah. so attractive.
And also think about it, you describe him as being like the sweetest, nicest guy you've ever known, but you've never known him in a relationship, in a monogamous mm-hmm. relationship where you guys live together and someone doesn't do the dishes, or there's some like where you have fights over little things because you're only ever getting the fantasy version of him, which is like I'm making it up now, but like he whisks you away once a week, oh, wow. and you have like a wonderful weekend or something. I don't know. But like, if it's, on that kind of a schedule where like you guys are doing this one thing together, it kind of remains in a fantasy world and yeah. you see him in a fantasy way of being this nice, wonderful guy who then also has a nice, wonderful, understanding wife. But like they probably fight. Yeah. He probably has annoying habits.
That you're seeing him on the terms that he wants to see mm-hmm. you and you're going to get that version
and not necessarily
of
as a real person and partner.
Yeah.
And you need to go out and date other people.
Yeah. And I think this is like a great thing for you to now, anyone listening, like to know about like the fact that like there isn't any, and like we've had people who've come on the podcast who like have been in or are in open relationships and about how there's like zero hard feelings to people who try it. And it's not like, mm-hmm. You tried it, tough shit. You already signed up for this. You thought you were cool with it.
Yeah. How like, dare you back out yeah. now?
And even if like this doesn't mean that like you're not cut out for open relationships in general, like you might be like, this might just be like a situation where you developed, like you had feelings for him that were like far too developed for you to have this relationship with him. But maybe later on in life, you're going to be with somebody else and then you're going to have an open relationship with them and you're going to be at a place where that you're okay with doing mm-hmm. that. And so I think listening to yourself, but also knowing that like, even like if you're going to be friends with someone that you've had sex with and had feelings for, and like they ended it, you maintaining a friendship and feelings for them when you're single and you're not like with somebody else, mm-hmm. there's a part of you, even if you don't want to admit it, is kind of holding out hope that either you're going to like get more chill, quote unquote, mm. or he's going to want to be with you in that way. Like you're just not closing that door yeah. when you really, really, really should. Cause you're preventing other people from coming into your life. Cause you've got one foot still in yeah. that pond.
But thanks for calling in to give advice to someone else. And then we just gave you yeah. unsolicited advice. How fun is that?
I feel like that's honestly what it's become now. Like yeah. I'm like, call in. Like now we're going to, now you've
call
asked
in and
for my
give
advice.
Your advice, but we're also still going to give you advice. More. It doesn't stop.
None of it stops. The advice never stops. A fuckboy never sleeps. Mm. And neither
it
do we.
Like
that's our
don't.
New tagline.
a fuckboy never sleeps.
So neither do we.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we have to.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
That is terrific.
Well, someone didn't read the Instagram caption because I fucking used it. It's fine. Oh, guys. Oh, my gosh. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Oh, that was Mary Poppins.
Okay.
Did you get that?
Did you guys see that movie? It's out right now.
Oh, it
not
is.
Spawn.
Not Spawn. But it's out.
Wow, let us know it how it is. Good. We, in the past, have not seen
what?
It.
What? It is Christmas. We are here, obviously.
Right now.
Clearly.
If you see any photos of me in Canada, they are photoshopped. Don't believe
Arkansas.
Them.
Fake.
Yeah.
Fake news,
you
everybody.
See me with my beautiful, beautiful nieces and nephews.
Oh. Cute. Yeah, she's not there, so don't ooh and ah, Megan. Guys, if you want to check out Aislinn, I was gonna plug you because I can, because I know all of your socials, but you can plug yourself.
But they're also pretty easy. They're just my name. At Aislinn Paul for both Twitter and Instagram. Check it out if you want. Instagram's usually a pretty chill photo place.
It's a pretty
and then
dope time.
Twitter yeah. is just me, you know, retweeting really sad, horrible news stuff. And
but
sometimes getting really angry.
Memes too.
The memes
DM each
are
other.
Few and far
That's
between
why.
These days. I'm really, it's like purely, I hate everybody.
Yeah, no, my Twitter, I looked at it recently. I don't know the last thing I've retweeted that hasn't been
it
like.
It was just like a funny joke.
Angry and political.
Yeah, that's like, what most of my stuff is.
I said, do you guys follow Johnny Sun? He's like a cartoonist on Twitter, but uh-uh. he's so lovely and he runs a wonderful Twitter account that I like following. Here's a plug for Johnny Sun. But he like wrote a tweet that was just like, I think 2018 killed memes.
Oh, wow.
Like haven't seen a good meme in months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I guess you're right. I haven't. Sorry, to all those meme accounts have died.
Merry God. Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Good God. If you want to follow Melissa and I, our socials will also be listed down below. Follow us on Instagram and all that shiz. If you want to find out where to listen, watch, and if you just want more info on the podcast, go to don'tblameme.show. But if you're watching this on YouTube, go to iTunes, go to Stitcher. Listen, subscribe, rate us. If you are listening, go watch us on YouTube. See the festiveness that you have been hearing about.
Yeah, we put in so much work.
Yeah, there are things here. We're gesturing to the things, mm-hmm. which you won't know we're gesturing to unless
you
watch
it. You don't know what gestures we're making.
Kidding. That one was a joke. Flash the tit. I'm not wearing a bra. I could really just like free
I
ball
am
it.
Wearing one for the
You're
first
wearing a
time.
Bra?
Yeah,
Why?
Because I had on that white shirt
oh,
for the
so,
last episode.
So it'd be color and shape.
Yeah.
That's always the white makes it so like you yeah. can't pick either or.
Yeah.
It's like areola and nip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys. Well, we hope you're having a very happy holiday. I hope things are going good. I hope the world's great right now. And if you want to call in for another episode, leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, you can email us an audio file at meganpodcast@gmail.com. And we will see you
next week.
Next week. I was going to say in the new year, but it's not a week enough. Nope. Nope.
Wait.
Will it be the new year? No, there's 31 days.
It's on New Year's Eve.
We will see you or hear you, and you'll see us and you'll hear us. We won't see you and hear you. That'd be creepy. on New Year's Eve. Okay, guys. Goodbye. Don't Blame Me is a production by me, produced, directed, and edited by Melissa DeMont. Post-production sound by Chris Henry, production assistant Julie Carley, and music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter. I'll see you guys next week, and don't blame me if your life, you know, completely fucks up before then. Oh.